Good morning. What a great blessing to be here with you this morning on the brink of a new year, we might say. And it's a blessing to be here on the Lord's Day and worship the Lord, be here with other Christians and or those who are seeking God. And as was mentioned, if you're here visiting with us today, you're our welcome guest. And we hope you can make time after service to stick around, get to know us a little better. Visit, gain a little more encouragement as before the new year. And we hope ultimately that you'll make this your church home and your church family. So I hope you can start on a path toward that today if you're from this area. On a personal note, as I look back, you know, briefly over the last year and even 2 years, just a personal thank you from me and from my family for the blessing that this church family has been to us and to me personally. I'm really thankful for Mark and getting to know him over the last couple years, and that he's given personal counsel or conversations to Vicky and I and our family, and he's a great teacher. Mark could teach anywhere in the brotherhood. If you know Mark and his background and you've been in his classes, he could be teaching at Sunset, Bear Valley, any Christian college within our brotherhood. So if you're missing out on his classes, you're really, really missing a lot. You might as well be sitting in a Bible class, you know, at a Christian university. And what a great blessing to have him here in Vallejo, and the sermons as well. So if you're missing any of that, you're really missing out. It's a real blessing. And if you're not familiar with this congregation, I give a personal thank you to the congregation and the family here in Vallejo, but you're missing out on a great church family as well. If you stick around a while, you'll see that we do have weaknesses. There might be a little crazy in the family, like with most families. But I think you're really fine knowing this congregation as long as I have, and even recently being blessed, you know, over these last couple years. You'll find a family of God who really loves God, is striving to serve God, and will be there to serve you as well. So that being said, at the end of a year, we tend, if you're like me, to look back on the year gone by, try to remember some of the good times and some of the special blessings from God and from the Lord. At the same time, there may be some things, as with me in 2018, that I would prefer to forget. How about you? I was hoping you all could relate with this a little. Perhaps this is true for each one of us here this morning, to one extent, you know, or another. If you want to be turning in your Bibles over to Philippians 3, and starting in verse 13. Philippians 3, starting in verse 13. We're going to have three major points while you're turning over there for the sermon. I know those who take notes, and even Tommy, one of the elders, mentioned it helps to know those points. You may be taking mental notes. And I've noticed listening to sermons, it does help if I remember those main points. I can kind of fill in some of the blanks during the week when I need that scripture or I need that truth, you know, to help me through the week. And we're going to read here that Paul talks about forgetting that which is behind and pressing on toward the goal. So the three points for the sermon are forgetting what lies behind, pressing on toward the goal, and then thirdly, for the new year, a new focus for the new year. I won't give you any New Year's resolutions, but maybe a new focus for the new year. So Paul writes in Philippians 3, starting in verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet," and that "it" refers back to verse 11, where he refers to the resurrection from the dead. "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of that upward call in God, or of God in Christ Jesus." Verse 15, "Let us therefore, as many as are perfect," or translated, you may have a note in your margin, "those of us who are mature, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you." However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. So this morning, especially at the end of a year and on the brink of a new year, we want to follow Paul's teaching, his example in his own life of forgetting what lies behind. The NIV Study Bible has a note for this verse, if you have a study Bible, and I just copied it right out of the study Bible. It was impossible for Paul to lose all his memory of his sinful past. So he's not referring to losing all memory of his sinful past or who he was in the past, but rather leaving it behind him as done and settled. And that really helped me understand what Paul is talking about. I think that sums it up and wraps it up very well, doesn't it? Paul did not deny his past. Throughout the New Testament, you'll read Paul referring to his past, referring to the way he ravaged the church. Paul was there as Stephen was stoned. So he did not deny his past. But he also remembered and would never stop proclaiming and telling and preaching and teaching about the grace he had been shown by Jesus Christ. So when he looked back at his past and he refers to leaving the past behind and pressing on toward the goal, I think this sums it up. He left his past behind him as done with and settled because he accepted the grace that God had to offer him through Jesus Christ. And then he accepted the responsibilities and the new purpose and mission in life that God had given him as well. So we can relate to Paul. We'll not lose all memory of our past. Now, perhaps unintentionally, I forget some of this last year. And there are some things I'll try to intentionally forget. Maybe if they pop up in my mind, I kind of tear it out of there like rooting out bad weeds out of my brain or that kind of thing. But we won't lose all memory of our past, but we can, like Paul, leave it behind us as done and settled. How about that? I like that. By the grace of God, just as with Paul, and the grace offered us and provided for us through that blood of Christ, we can put our past behind us. We can accept his forgiveness for our wrongs, for our sins, for our misgivings, if you will. And we can accept his grace, repent of those things, learning, and move on to be even a better servant of God in the new year. It is possible, but only when we know that we brought that sin out into the open, or we're honest with God about that weakness where we really need and from God himself a renewed strength. But sin that brought into the light and sin that's repented of, and when we continually trust in that blood that was shed on our behalf to cleanse us of that sin, we can experience on an ongoing basis, yearly if you will, daily I believe, a renewing within ourselves when we trust God and when we're honest with him. 1 John chapter 1 and verses 5 through 10. Turn over there with me. You might beat, oh yeah, I did mark that one. I thought you were going to beat me there. The brother at preaching school said, oh, Mike, you still haven't left your training wheels behind. Just because I'm marking my scriptures. That's not really training wheels, is it? I got my training wheels, so maybe I beat you there. 1 John chapter 1 and starting in verse 5. This is a message we have heard from him, Jesus, and announced to you that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and he's writing to Christians, if we Christians say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another referring to between us and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and therefore God, in a vertical sense you might say. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him, God, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. I emphasize this scripture and call our attention to it whenever I have opportunity, because being in the church as long as I have, and you've probably heard me repeat it here in this congregation, because I believe this verse is crucial to keeping people and helping people stay faithful to the Lord and not give up on their faith, not give up on Christ. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on God's family to help you remain faithful and finish your race. When we struggle with sin, my tendency, I believe our tendency, I believe it's safe to say as human beings, is to hide it and to keep it in the darkness. And I've experienced myself and in counseling and helping other Christians, it's many times because we're embarrassed about it. We're ashamed of it. And you know, that's a good thing. What's really scary is when your heart becomes so hard that you're no longer ashamed. You're no longer embarrassed. So you've taken the first step when you still blush. Thank God your heart's still tender, right? And your mind is still tender. Even to know that you've done something wrong and be aware of it is the first step, right? The next step, though, is not to live in denial. Let's get it out in the open. It doesn't have to be coming forward. That may be necessary, and it may help. And there'll be an invitation at the end of this sermon if that's necessary. But whether it's between you and another brother or you and another sister or talking to an elder or a deacon, somehow you've got to find a way and make a way to get it out into the light. Because continuing to walk in darkness and keep it in darkness is not acceptable to God, right? And it's not acceptable to God because he loves us. He doesn't want us to go back into that bondage and slavery of sin. He doesn't want us to continue on in the shame and guilt that goes along with sin. He wants us to be forgiven and freed and stay free from sin, right? Until we go on to be with him. So don't live in denial. If you found yourself entangled and entrapped in sin, and for whatever reason, Satan is sly. He's slick. He's the great deceiver. The Bible makes no bones about it. But God is wiser, and his way works. That's the thing about Christianity, isn't it? It works. When you take what's taught in the New Testament, whether it's Jesus or the inspired writers of the New Testament, and we apply it to our lives, it works. And that's when we find that joy that was referred to as we partook of the Lord's Supper, and the peace that surpasses all understanding. So we're striving each and every day, but especially as we look forward to the new year, to press on toward the goal that Paul refers to. Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What a great and lofty goal for the Christian. And especially now as we sit on the brink of a new year, we can renew and refresh that goal and that focus in our lives. The Christian life is like a race. Several times in the New Testament, Paul refers to the Christian life and relates the Christian life to competition, doesn't he? Here he mentions striving toward that goal and that prize. Back home in my small town in Pennsylvania, it's kind of odd in a way. There's what we call the Berwick Marathon. And it's odd in many ways, but number one, I think it's a marathon, but it's not the normal marathon length. It's 9 miles, but it's over country hills and a difficult course. But the other thing that's kind of odd, especially for a small town, the prize is very unique. The prize for the winners in each main category are diamonds. So it's referred to as the run for the diamonds. So coming from a small town, I was sheltered. We had one African-American family in town, for example. We had one Japanese family. He was a doctor in town. And so I was very sheltered from other cultures. So one funny thing I'll share with you is we would get Kenyans would come and run this race, and they'd run in their bare feet. And we're thinking, we can't run this thing. You know, we're getting blisters running this in our expensive New Balance and Nikes. And then Olympic runners would come. They would come, and Frank Shorter was one of them, and a few others. So for us, this was a big deal in a small town. People don't just, you know, swing through Berwick, Pennsylvania to check out the sights, right? And those Kenyans would be running in their bare feet. And what are they doing? They're all running for the diamonds. No other race I know of gives diamonds as a reward when you cross the finish line. Now, me, personally, I ran the race, but I was just running to cross the finish line. I just want to make it over those country hills and not embarrass myself, right? And try to beat the girls from the cross-country team, by the way. I'm not going to tell you. You would really have to dig to find the results, so I'm not going there. But the point is, the faithful Christian receives an award of everlasting life when we press on toward the goal. It's up to us, though, to put forth the effort to press on. We can't earn, I'll focus on this later in the sermon, but we can't earn our salvation, but it does take some effort. The Bible makes that clear. I was surprised to find that out when I first started reading those scriptures and they were shared to me. Oh, there's something I have to do? God doesn't just throw down salvation into my lap as I sit there watching Sunday football? Right? It's not the way it works. That's not what the New Testament teaches. Verse 14, Paul says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's the NIV translation. The prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. As Christians here this morning, God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. We have that same call that Paul had. And it takes an effort on our part. He says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Has anyone ever told you, as they've told me, Mike, it's time to grow up? I may have heard that from my wife this past week. You're 52 going on 53. It's time to grow up here, right? It's really time. It's been half a century. We laugh about it, but for some of us, it's time to grow up. It's time to be mature, to be a mature Christian and have this kind of view of things that Paul is outlining and making clear. Number three, for the note takers, a new focus for a new year. How about in this new year, we have a new goal, a new focus? Turn over to Romans chapter 2 and verse 6. Remember this verse, Romans chapter 2. If you can't remember the verse, just remember Romans chapter 2 and start at verse 1. Eventually, you'll get there. It can't hurt to read a little extra scripture, right? Romans 2 and verse 6, he refers to, well, there in verse 5, God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. And as you read it in context with chapter 1 and the first part of chapter 2, he's talking about God's just wrath on mankind because of our sin. And the good news of the gospel is that we can avoid that wrath of God because we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But by repenting of that sin, naming Christ as our Lord, being buried in baptism with Christ, we can break away from that sin. We can be forgiven of it. We can be freed of it. And now we can look forward to our heavenly call in Christ Jesus. God, who will render to each person according to his deeds, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious, do not obey the truth, but unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, the Jew first, and also of the Greek, and also for the Christian, because he's writing to Christians here, and he's warning Christians as well, and really, for the most part, for there is no partiality with God, he says in verse 11. So I'm responsible. It's hard for me to even say, I'm responsible for my own actions, right? Ultimately, I'm responsible for my faith. I'm dependent upon the elders here, the shepherds. I appreciate them. Appreciate so much that we have so many deacons who are willing to serve. As I mentioned before the sermon, I really appreciate the Christians here that have been such a great encouragement, especially over the last 2 years. But ultimately, I'm responsible for my faith. And so are you. I'm responsible to decide whether or not I'm going to seek glory, honor, and immortality, and then look forward to that eternity with God that's promised. But it's up to me to seek glory, honor, and immortality, isn't it? So let's be resolved for 2019, and really the goal is throughout our Christian life, right? To seek actively, proactively seek glory, honor, and immortality. Then we can take hold of the promise of that eternal life that's promised, right? When we're doing our part. The alternative, Romans 2, verses 8 through 11 that we just read, look at the alternative. God's wrath, God's indignation, that's anger, tribulation, distress. If I choose to be selfish, selfishly ambitious, if I refuse to obey the truth, if I refuse to obey righteousness, and if I choose to do evil, then there's only tribulation, distress, indignation, and wrath for me to look forward to. Isn't that right? Paul lays it out plain and simple. But as for us, as God's faithful people, the good news is we're going to seek together that glory, honor, and immortality. And we're going to help each other along the way, aren't we? We have the encouragement of God's word. We have the encouragement of one another. We have good shepherds and deacons we're blessed with. So certainly we can do this, right? Not on our own, but with help. Allow God to finish his work in you. I see that common theme from Paul throughout Philippians. Philippians 1 and verse 6, Paul says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ." He who began a good work in you. He's writing to Christians who had already repented of their sins, named Christ as their Lord and King, been baptized into Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. God had already began his work inside them, right? But now he's saying, I'm praying that you'll persevere on, that you'll choose, Roman Christian, to allow God to complete his work within you. God has started a work within every Christian. You realize that? He has begun a work within you. Will you allow him and cooperate with him as he strives to complete that work within you? Will Mike Sherman cooperate, or will I be stubborn, as I've been known to be at times? Will I be stubborn in 2019 with God, or will I decide to cooperate and allow him to complete his work and continue to work within me? He says, and perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's saying, allow God to continue to work in you until Christ returns or until you go on to be with the Lord, right? So it has to go beyond 2019, but we'll start with 2019. Philippians 2 and verses 12 and 13, he refers to that same work within us. Philippians 2 and verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. There is that idea again. I'm taking personal responsibility, not working for salvation. There's nothing I could ever do to earn my salvation. There's nothing you can ever do. I hope God blesses you with good works, and I hope some of your good works end up blessing me, and vice versa. But none of those good works God does through us could ever earn our salvation. But there is effort involved in working out your salvation. We can't sit passively by thinking God's just going to flop eternity into my lap, work all my salvation out for me, and all these difficult relationships with coworkers, with family perhaps, and neighbors, even Christian brothers and sisters. It's not all just going to work itself out. We have to work out our salvation. It takes some effort on our part. But that effort doesn't earn our salvation. And the key is submission. Because he says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. When he works within individual Christians, and we allow him to work within us, because that's a personal decision, then that's when the church works, isn't it? That's when we work together well as a coordinated body of Christ to fulfill the mission that God has for us to fulfill collectively as the body of Christ. If you notice, I put 3 points under the last third point. While Mark's gone, I'm going to like clue you in. That's a preacher's trick. This is really 2 sermons. I gave you 1 3-point sermon, and now it's another 3-point sermon. Try to put that in your notes. So the third point under number 3 is be a star in 2019. You say, what are you talking about, Mike? That's not in the Bible. What are you talking about, Willis? It is in the Bible. Philippians 2. Verses 14 and 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God with above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. By the way, just as when Peter preached that first sermon and the other apostles, he said, save yourselves. Remember, after preaching the gospel, save yourselves from this perverse and wicked generation. The same is true today. We still live within a wicked and perverse generation, whether we're in the United States or any other country on the face of the earth. And we have to do what it takes on our part to save ourselves, which is trust in what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain or toil in vain. Paul's personal success was tied directly to him helping them to be successful, fruitful, faithful Christians, wasn't it? As you look at this verse, Philippians 2, or 2 verses, 14 and 15, he says, among whom this wicked and corrupt fallen world and generation, among them, among whom you appear to shine, another translation says, as lights, another translation says, as stars in the world. So perhaps those stars that were watching and following their lives on TMZ, or some other program, the ones who are considered stars by this world. I'm not getting into their I don't know what. But you know what I'm saying. They're considered the stars, right? In our generation and in our culture. God says, no, you Christians are the stars of the show. You're the bright shining stars in the midst of a fallen, crooked, perverse world. And now we're called and we're empowered by God to shine as stars in a dark and fallen world. So to recap, Forget what lies behind. Press on toward the goal. Seek glory, honor, and immortality. And be a star in 2019. If you have a need to respond this morning, perhaps you're not a Christian yet, and even what we're studying here this morning is foreign to you. The Bible says that all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. So regardless of social economic standing, regardless of where we are or where we're a citizen of what country in this world, none of that really matters because we're all in the same boat as human beings. Isaiah says in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all of us human beings, like sheep, have gone astray, and each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So people can deny it all they want, but you're on the same playing field as Mike Sherman from Podunk, Pennsylvania. Because all have sinned. All have gone astray. All have gone astray from the shepherd. But thank God there's still an opportunity to come back to your good shepherd. You have an opportunity today to decide to listen to the good shepherd's voice. Accept what the good shepherd did for you in laying down his life for the sheep. He laid down his life for the sheep. He laid down his life for humanity. But he laid down his life for individual human beings like you. He was willing to take upon himself the pain, the suffering, the humiliation that's unimaginable, really, and unexplainable by the best preacher. But he was willing to take all that upon himself that you and I deserved upon ourselves. That's the basic good news of the gospel. And after taking our punishment upon himself, he was buried in that tomb for 3 days. And then thank God, by the power of God, he was raised from the dead and now is alive at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And he wants as many as possible to come to understand and appreciate God's love for us and his willingness to send his son to die in our stead. He wants you to be one of the sheep in his fold once again. But only you can make that decision for you and for your life. I hope you'll make that decision today. And if you need to come forward and make that decision public, perhaps you're a Christian, you're already a member of the fold, but you've gone astray, and you want to come back into the fold and recommit yourself to the Lord, to the body of Christ. Whatever your need is, we invite you to come and make it be made known in a public way. And I always like to say, if you can't do that for some reason, please make it be made known to someone. Don't keep it to yourself, right? Move forward as we move forward into a new year. I invite you to come forward as we sing this invitation song.